happy Sabbath. It's good to be back gathered again after we've all kind of scattered to the winds and kept the Feast of Tabernacles, but it's always good to be back as God's family. I hope you had an inspiring and enjoyable feast wherever you were able to partake of that truth. We were in Utah and had a fantastic time. I would highly recommend that area of the country. If you have never seen it, it is absolutely spectacular. So maybe next year if we're able to have that again out in that area. Oops, there we go. Well, one of the places that Cynthia and I visited after the feast, we took 2 days and went about 2 hours north of St. George to a place called Bryce Canyon National Park. And that is a beautiful area of the country. It's about 150 miles north, and you kind of take I-15 up through the canyon where they've put the highway. And then you go east into the mountains, and you go up to about... The amazing part is it starts at 7777 elevation, 4 sevens. That was pretty exciting to come and see that for this park sign. And then you go up from there as you continue into the park, and the highest point is about 9,100 feet. So a little odd to think of that kind of elevation in the plains. In that part of the country, you tend to think of the Rocky Mountains as being only that high, but that's not the case. But Bryce Canyon is quite beautiful. I wonder if it's one of the locations that God may be used as a drain, because the formations that are there, they call them hoodoos. And they're column-shaped rock formations that are just rounded. And you just see them in stacks all throughout the park. And they're red in color. Some of them are white in color. And it's just amazing. And the park is designed that you walk the rim. So then if you're going to hike, you hike down into the canyon. And so we spent about 2 days walking around. And one of the things that we learned about was a species of pine trees, and it's called the ponderosa pine. I have a couple pictures I want to show you. This is one of the lookout points we stopped at, and you look out from this particular point about 8,900 feet, and you just see thousands of acres of this ponderosa pine. I'll show you some here in a moment, within this terrain. And you wonder, well, how could something like that grow? Because these will grow, they can reach up to a height of about 200 feet. Some of the taller ones, and the larger ones will also get about 3 to 4 feet in diameter. Most of the ones we saw were about 2 feet, which is about like this, and maybe about 100 feet in height. And they're all scattered throughout the park. And one section we drove through, they're all burned. They're blackened. And they're still alive. And that was quite amazing. So I wanted to share with you 3 lessons from a ponderosa pine. We had a great time in the park, and we were talking about it because the ranger explained a lot of things to us about this particular species. I want to share 3 lessons from the ponderosa pine in our after-the-feast experience. Number one is it lives in an arid climate or arid condition. You can see from the picture here, this is a picture of Natural Bridge, and you see a pine tree right out in front there. And it's all rock formations, and there's not a whole lot of water in this area of the country. And yet these things, like I mentioned, they thrive, and they'll grow about 200 feet tall at their peak. And they're all over. And you think, well, they topple over because they're coming out the side of the cliff or they're on the edge of a mesa, but they thrive. And I got to thinking, well, our world is really not a fertile place for godliness, is it? We just heard about that at the feast. It's not a place where righteousness really dwells, except for in the people of God. It's really a wilderness of sin. And yet I was comparing it to this tree. Really, the trees are beautiful amidst a landscape that is really dry. You just not expect much to grow there. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. God's creation really speaks of him and his qualities, as we know from Romans. Here in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we're kind of reminded of what we do each day, what we've just been reminded of at the feast, and that we live in an arid environment. We live in a world that doesn't really know God's truth, doesn't care to know God. And here in Ephesians 6:12, we're told, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I got comparing this to the tree, and I'm thinking, well, that's a perfect analogy. Here God's placed the ponderosa pine in a beautiful area of the country to remind us of what we are in our life. That we're striving to be like this particular species, growing and thriving in a world that just ignores God. And you can think of the imagery that we just heard about at the feast from Isaiah chapter 35, where it talks about the desert blossoming. And that's from the great change that will occur when God pours out His Spirit on all flesh. Things will be changed dramatically. And it's really an illustration of what God is going to do. And I was thinking also of Psalm chapter 1, where it talks about the righteous will be like a tree that's planted. And all these kind of images come to mind as we were, again, hiking through Bryce Canyon. The second point I wanted to bring out is that bark protects it from the fire. And again, we were learning this on the bus as we're driving through the park to one of the trails. The ranger just mentioned that the bark protects it from the fire. I mentioned, you know, one area that we drove through, the trees were all burned. And all the vegetation that was the undergrowth was just totally gone. And yet the trees were still thriving. They were all still alive. And yet they were blackened. Because the way God made this particular species is that it's a thick bark. It's probably a couple inches thick. And it's designed to withstand fire. So a lightning can strike, and that's what had happened in a couple places. The lightning had struck, burned the area, and yet the tree's still alive. I have some comments from the National Parks Service. It says, fires are essential for the ponderosas because they help keep the more shade-tolerant tree species from invading the ponderosa pine's preferred habitat. Even if all the needles are burned off, they still survive because of its thick bark, which acts as an armor to protect the life force within the tree. As long as the inner bark that transports the sugars isn't burned, the tree is fine. Isn't that amazing? That God designed this particular species to be able to withstand the natural cleansing of the environment. Now, there were some controlled burns that had took place. They told us those things. But they're still alive. And they're still thriving. All a result of the way God designed it. And isn't it the same for us? We have a seed of the Holy Spirit that God gives for us to thrive through the fires of life. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. We don't always appreciate the things that we're put through or that come into our life, but we are to come to that point. 1 Peter chapter 4 here in verse 12. I want to read this to you from the New Living Translation. 1 Peter 4 verse 12, it says, friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. Just like the ponderosa tree, God gives us the strength through His Spirit to endure and to go through the fiery trials that life has. We can stay healthy and strong, and we can stay resistant through the strength that God gives to us. It's a very, very beautiful analogy that God has given us through a part of His creation. But the most amazing part, I thought, was point number 3. The trees give off a pleasant aroma. And you're thinking, well, okay, Mr. McLean, you're a little goofy. All right, well, when you stand on a lot of those overlooks, you just kind of, you breathe in the nice fresh air, right? You've seen them, you've been to the mountains, you've been maybe to the parks here in Indiana, and it's so comforting and calming to take in that freshness and the crispness of the air, right? The ponderosa tree, if you scrape the bark, it smells like butterscotch. That's really cool that you can go up and just scrape it with your fingernail or even your thumb, and it smells like butter. Now, it's not super strong, but you can smell it. And it has just a hint of vanilla. So picture yourself driving through the park and stopping at one of these places, and you look, come all these trees, and you just smell the air. It smells a little bit like a pastry shop. And God made this particular pine tree, the ponderosa, to smell like that, just so we can appreciate its smell. Now let's relate that to us, right? What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be pleasing to our Father in heaven, are we not? We're supposed to be putting off a sweet-smelling aroma. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It didn't quite smell like a pastry shop, but it's nice to envision that anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. Anyway, every opportunity we could that we could get close enough, we would scrape the tree. It was pretty exciting. 2 Corinthians 15 and verse 15. We're told here, our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. This is from the New Living. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. Now, why would that be? Well, it's because their conscience gets pricked a little bit when they see our behavior and they see how perhaps they recognize that they should act. They're bothered a little bit because they know they're on the wrong path if God grants that thought to them. I'll read that again. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? Now, we know none of us are really adequate because God gives the strength and He gives the Holy Spirit to us to be able to do these things. But it's a beautiful analogy that our life can be like maybe a ponderosa pine. Maybe smell like butterscotch or vanilla. God wants us to be pleasing to Him. He wants our prayers to be pleasing to Him as we offer our time and our talk with Him. So is our life reflecting Jesus Christ? Is our life reflecting Jesus Christ? We really enjoyed the time at Bryce Canyon. I hope many of you can take and experience that. God has truly created so many amazing places. We have the blessing of being able to travel for the feast to see those things. But we really appreciated the ponderosa pine, beauty that God has placed in that whole section of the country. It's called the timber of the Southwest, and they're all scattered through those western states there, and really can be a symbol of our life with God. If we're living in the arid conditions, we're trying to resist the fire and go through those things to grow in a spiritual character God desires, and yet through the whole thing, offering off a pleasing, a sweet-smelling aroma, offering our lives as a sacrifice to God. So be like the ponderosa pine.